life is good. All right, it's good to see everybody this morning. All the details and all of that that needs to go into place, and we're up and running, or at least the nods have been coming from the sound booth, and I'm going to take that as a go for it. And so we're going to go for it this morning as we go through. A number of things that I wanted to bring to your attention in your bulletins this week. There is a flyer regarding Vacation Bible School. Yeah, that's next. And don't panic, but it is 6 weeks. And it's going to be Vacation Bible School. but we have a flyer in the bulletin. And if you look on the back of that flyer, there's two QR codes, two websites that are on there. One of them is for signing your kids, grandkids, neighbors, whatever it happens to be up for Vacation Bible School. The other one is for volunteers. Now, it will actually take you to two different websites. One for signing up your children, one for signing up as a volunteer. Now, the one for volunteers is kind of a new thing that we're trying this year, and you can actually sign up for whatever it is that you would like to do. If you want to, for instance, take pictures during Vacation Bible School, you would go to the area that says pictures. Now, I will tell you this, somebody's already signed up for pictures. And so you would say, oh, somebody else signed up for that, then I'll do something else. And you can pick what it is you want to do. This will help the coordinators out dramatically, and you'll know what you're going to be doing as well. It's kind of an everybody wins situation. But we're looking forward to that. Vacation Bible School is on the horizon. Woo! Okay, I'm excited. I think it's great. Looking forward to that. Also, Camp Odioquwa, if you haven't signed up to go to Camp Odioquwa, you need to sign up to go to Camp Odioquwa. It's just awesome. The different ages are there as well, and all of that. One of the things that helps Camp Odioquwa function is they do a work day every year. This year it's going to be May the 14th, Saturday. That's 2 weeks from yesterday. And would like to get a group of folks together to go down. It could be doing most anything. We'll find out projects as we get a little bit closer. But it's just an opportunity to go down and help get the camp ready for the influx of kids for summer. And so we'll probably leave the church here at 8 o'clock in the morning on the 14th and then go down to camp, probably be there till 1 o'clock or so, something like that. And so keep that in mind if you're interested in going along. I had somebody ask me earlier, is this for guys only? No, not at all. I won't say we'll take anyone, because that makes it sound like you have no value. But everyone is invited to come and be part of that. If we get a lot of folks, we'll coordinate more vehicles to drive down. Just be great. Go down for a work day at Camp Odioquwa on the 14th of this month. Also, we had a meeting after church last Sunday regarding our sound system. I know our sound system works, but our board is wee little. And we need something that's going to give us a little more flexibility. And so the council decided to move forward with that and gave us permission to go ahead and order it. The good news is we have some of the money to pay for it. The bad news is the rest of it, I think I know where it is. In your pocket. I mean, isn't that how that works? So here's what we're going to do. We've kind of started a line item for our accounting, and if you are able to help us out a little bit above your normal tithe offering, you've got some, God's blessed you, and you've got a little bit extra that you'd be willing to give. We're going to try and raise the rest of it. The total cost is just under $8,000 to get this new board and get everything set up so that we can move forward. So if you just write on the envelope when you put it in the offering or communicate some way, we'll make sure it gets put over into that. We'll keep you up to date. I know it's more than half of the money is there to pay it off, and so we're just trying to finish that up. So hopefully this week it'll get ordered, and then in 2 weeks it'll be all finished. No, but sometime as it'll get ordered, and we'll get that put together as soon as we can. And so keep that in mind. If that's something that you'd be willing to give a little extra towards, we'd greatly appreciate that as well. Then also, after the service is over today, we're going to have a potluck up in the fellowship hall. I have good news. It's not all baked beans. And so we're excited about that. Would invite you to come up. If you didn't bring something to share, we still invite you to come up. Just get there quicker. We've never run out of food since I've ever been involved with potlucks. So just to invite you to come and just a little fellowship time, eat a meal together and yak and talk and share and watch the kids eat cookies. It's just awesome. So we're looking forward to that following the church service. Then the last announcement that I have is every year we send individuals from the church to a Great Lake Conference. You have to be a member of our congregation, and then we send you to business sessions where we conduct the business of our region. We set a budget, we elect people to serve on different commissions, and kind of hear reports of what's happening throughout our region. Our region is all of Ohio and all of Michigan. Yes, Ohio State versus Michigan. They almost sit on opposite sides of the church. But it's a great time to come together, and you get to meet people from all over our region. It's just a lot of fun, but there is a lot of business as well. We have three openings to send three individuals to those sessions. Those sessions are on June the 4th, and they'll take place at it's at the Mount Tabor Church of God. It's in Salina, Ohio. And if you're interested in going and being part of that, it's a one-day event from 9 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon. Please let me know, and we'll work out the details of making that happen. Or you can call the church office, and the first three that put their names in will take. Yeah, don't be fourth. Okay, everything else pretty much straight down through. A couple of prayer requests, ongoing war in Ukraine, and everything that's happening. Earlier this week, there were some tornadoes out west, and so keep those things in your prayers. And then we've been asked, that's what happens when you have two sets of notes. We've been asked prayers and also a thank you. Andy Wright passed away. I'm not picking it up, I'm sorry. Andy Seaman has passed away, and the family, Paul and Vi, just want to thank everyone for all the prayers over the years. He's had a pretty difficult life, and he has gone on to his eternal reward. And so it's kind of a mixed bag. It's thanks for all you've done, but also keep them in your prayers. It's so tough to say goodbye. And so those things as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We see how your hand is at work. We see the impact that it is having on the lives of your people, and we're excited by that. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to come and to be part of the things that we're involved with. We want you to guide and to direct our path, that, Lord, as we follow you, Lord, you would receive the glory and the praise, and people would see the difference that you've made in the lives of those that you inhabit and be drawn to you. And Lord, we want to do our part, so invigorate us and draw us closer to you that we might understand more and more of who you are, so that, Lord, you would work through us and others would be drawn to you. And we just want to thank you in advance for what you have for us in the future. And Lord, we also think of the various things that are happening, and we ask, Lord, that you would give us guidance, that you would give us your love on an ongoing basis, that the world would see that difference that you've made in our hearts. And Lord, we think of those that have struggled through their lives. And Lord, this morning we're just so thankful for life. Lord, when someone passes on, we know they go from this life to the next, and those that know you walk upon the streets of gold. And we're so thankful for those promises, and we hold on to them. And we just ask that you'd be with Paul and Vi as they've had to say goodbye. And Lord, we just ask that you would wrap your arms of love around them to assist them as they grieve, and to just walk with them on an ongoing basis as they live this life without Andy. Lord, just watch over them. And Lord, for many on our prayer list, and for those that are near and dear to our hearts, Lord, there are a number of folks that have gotten good reports back from tests, and we praise you for that. And other folks that have to do some changes, but Lord, you're working and in their hearts and in their bodies, and good things are happening. And Lord, we look forward to what you have for us. We look forward to being able to gather together in this place. And Lord, with you here, speak to our hearts this day. Assist us to put the things of earth aside that we can focus wholly upon you. Come and be part of who we are, Lord, that you might inhabit us, work through us, and even in spite of us at times, that the world would see the difference that you have made. Watch over us and all these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll have the hand of fellowship. If you want to stand and welcome those that are around you, remember, handshakes, fist bump, elbow bumps, or smiles. We love it all.
I invite you to join us in singing our songs this morning. The first one, number 377, Alleluia. Sing to Jesus.
Sinful, flee.
to you from day to day. Intercessor, friend of sinners, earth's redeemer, plead for me. Where the songs of all the sinless sweep across the crystal sea. Now number 89, Jesus, the very thought of thee. Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. No voice can sing, no heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind. O hope of heaven, contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find all this? Nor tongue nor pen can show the love of Jesus, what it is. None but his loved ones know. Jesus, our only joy be thou, as thou our prize will be. Jesus, be thou our glory now and through eternity. And you may be seated.
For our scripture this morning, we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Paul writes to Timothy, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God will bless the reading of his word.
Come on down. There's a couple spots over here. Or you could sit there. I don't care. It's cool. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And it has a snake in it. Do you like stories with snakes? Do you like snakes? Do you ever touch a snake? They feel kind of gross. No, you like snakes? Yeah. Yeah, some people do, and I'm glad. God bless you. But way back in the beginning of the Bible, there were two people. And who were the first two people in the Bible? Do you remember? Adam and Eve. And does anybody remember where they lived? Yeah, they lived in the Garden of Eden, and it was a really cool place. The trees always had fruit. You just go pick them, and they were always ripe. It was awesome. It was just a great life. One day, a snake came slithering through, and it began to talk. Now, I don't know why the snake talked. I don't know how the snake talked. The Bible says the snake talked, so this snake talked. And it said basically to Eve that you want to eat from the tree that was right there in the middle of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve said, I don't think we're supposed to. And the snake said, yeah, I know that, but really, it tastes good. And after a long conversation, Eve took a bite of the apple that was there in the tree. Do you know what she did next? What she did next is really important. She gave the apple, after she took a bite, to Adam. So Adam had to be standing like right here. And so Adam took a bite of the apple. And at that moment, God walked through the garden. And do you know what Adam and Eve did? They went like this. Do that. Yeah. Ah! Because they realized that they had done something that God told them not to. And because they did that, God threw them out of the garden and into the earth where we live too now. And sin was brought into the world. Now, Jesus came that we could have forgiveness from that sin. So we'll talk about that later. But right now, I just wanted you to know how it got in. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love for us is so great that you're willing to forgive us even when we behave like Adam and Eve, when we do things that we know we're not supposed to. Lord, just come and be part of who we are, and Lord, help us to thank you for all that you do. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, go ahead. Don't run me over. As the aisle clears, I'm going to invite the ushers to come down and we'll receive our offering this morning. Let's bow for prayer together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all the things that you're doing, and Lord, for watching over us, for safety, for providing. And we're so thankful for what you're doing. And Lord, it's out of a gracious and a heart full of thanksgiving that, Lord, we give to you. And we ask, Lord, your blessing to be upon this offering, that it would rise up to meet the need for the furthering of your kingdom, both here and throughout Ohio, the nation, and the world. Lord, as each one does their part, it is amazing what you accomplish. And Lord, you continue to do amazing things. So Lord, may your blessing be upon all of us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come ye sinners, lost and lonely, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faint he giveth power, through the mountains makes a way, findeth water in the desert, turns the night to golden day. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. In temptation he is near thee, holds the powers of hell at bay, guides you to the paths of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
That was awesome. You know, it's always amazing when we get new faces up front, and thanks so much to Andy for coming up and singing, and for Deed for just rounding it out and just making him look good. I mean, that's just awesome. That's and for some of us, that takes a lot. And so we just really appreciate your willingness and being part of that. That was terrific. A couple things this morning. Last week, we kind of talked about prayer and making that connection with God. And this week, we're going to talk about Scripture. And we're talking about some of the basics of Christianity, the things that we really need to make sure are part of our ongoing routine as we grow and develop our relationship with God. Because here, we have practice. We get to practice while we're here so that when we pass through that doorway of death unto life eternal, that we're ready for what comes. Now, I know I've heard people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to go, wow. You know, then I'm going to say it backwards, wow. I mean, and that's a cool thing, but I want to be somewhat prepared here for when I get there, so that when I get there, it's just wow and not wow. I mean, you know, and so I want to be working and developing that relationship with the God that loves us so much. And so this morning, I want to talk about Scripture. And the verses that Dee read for us say that God is living and alive, profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Wow, there's a mouthful right there. And we're going to kind of walk through some of this, not all of it, but some of it. And the only reason we're not going to do all of it is because I only have a half an hour. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we've got a solid foundation to stand upon as we grow in our relationship with the God that truly loves us. So let's look into Scripture this morning. The first thing that I saw there in these verses is that God's Word is living and active. Have you ever read the Bible and had something just jump out at you? You weren't necessarily ready for it. I know as I've read the Bible, all of a sudden something will just boom. It comes out at me, and it's like, I never saw that before. You know, and I made a practice and still do it from time to time. I'll read the same section of verses over and over and over. And right about the time that I think that I've got everything out of those verses that's there, I read it and then something hits me again. It's just amazing. And I think some of the times, well, here, let's read these verses from Hebrews 4, 12. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It's alive and active. To be alive is a sense that means counted among the living, not the dead. We're alive. Most of you are alive. Okay, we're all alive. nudge the person beside you if they're acting like they're not. But we're alive. And it also means that to be alive, it means not necessarily just breathing. Alive has this sense of we are who we are at our basic essence. And that's part of being alive, is to understand who we are. Sometimes we forget that we are an individual that's created by God and there's a purpose. We may not fully understand the purpose, we just know that God's calling us and we're to do what it is we can do. Now, sometimes that means we're running around and doing all kinds of stuff. There are other times when we're pretty much stationary and unable to get around and do very much. God is working, and we all have a purpose regardless. We're alive. And as long as we're alive, God will continue to use us. But it's not only alive, it's active. Active means effective. It's productive in its work. To be able to understand that part of what we do is communicate. And willingness to communicate with each other. Now, we have the hand of fellowship. We were really willing to communicate. That's a good thing. We have coffee and donuts up there. We're willing to communicate. And the donuts were really good today. It's been a while since I had a sugar fix. That was awesome. I mean, there are all kinds of opportunities for us to come together and communicate with one another, to share our lives with one another. Because so much I found in my own life is sometimes in sharing my struggles, somebody else that's already gone through them says, "Well, you might want to try this." And you go, "Oh, that's cool." And we have this dynamic, but we're alive. But we need to also understand that God's word is living and it's alive. So many times you read the Bible and just what you need jumps out at you. Just what you're looking for, I needed a little help in my life, and you're reading scripture and all of a sudden, oh, there it is. How come I never saw that before? I've read that 1,000 times because it's living and it's active. And the Bible, it seems to me anyway, that what we need is there. And as we read it and make it part of our routine, there are parts that jump out at us just when we need them to jump. It seems to me that there are times when the Bible speaks specifically into my circumstances and into my needs. It definitely is living and active. But it also says that it's profitable. Now, usually when we think of profitable, we think of, well, I got to take out my wallet and see if the Bible's profitable. Maybe if I open it, that would help. No more. That's not really what we're talking about. Profitable in this sense or in this situation is telling us that the Bible has value and it speaks into our lives and gives to us what we need. We read 2 Timothy chapter 3. But there's two different versions that I wanted to look at this morning, and they're on the screen. The first is, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And then the different version, it's the ESV version. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness. And you see, those words that I underlined there, useful and profitable, that's kind of what we're talking about. What is it that is useful or profitable? Scripture gives us so much. It gives us this foundation to build upon. It enables us to stand upon solid ground so that we can live this life that God has granted to us. Because without it, we don't have a place to stand. We've talked about financial peace, university, and about how to use the finances that God entrusts to us to their greatest good, and how to make that work in the world in which we live. All of that is based off of Scripture. That's the foundation that stands on, and it says, and here's how that works out in the world. So that we can all be just like the founder, his name just flew out of my mind. But we can all be billionaires, millionaires, just like him. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, yeah, it would be. But here's the thing: there are principles, and we may not end up a millionaire, but there are principles that give us a solid ground to stand upon. You see, it's profitable, it's useful, and it's put there, and it says, for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. There's just real quickly, I want to walk through those just on the basic edge. The teaching part of it is learning what the Bible says so that we can use it in daily life. There's reproof or correction that is talking about in our interactions with other people, we use what God has written in His Word in order to assist one another. So often we just want to use it as a book that's heavy to beat people over the head, and that's not at all what this is talking about. This is talking about there are principles in God's Word that we can use to help each other. You know, and when we're willing to help each other, it's amazing what begins to happen. If we use them to beat each other up, all we end up with is bloody, and nobody wins. The difference between smacking with a blunt object and coming alongside to help. Reproof and correction is a willingness to come alongside and say, look, I found some stuff here that I would like to pass along to you so that you can have this biblical foundation to stand upon. Because otherwise, you know, things get pretty wishy-washy. You know, and then you end up in quicksand that's really slow, which I don't know why, but that's the way it is. But are we willing to do that? So much in the past, we as Christians have used the Bible as a bully block for beating people up. And that's I don't think that's what Jesus wanted at all. Jesus wanted to share with the world what he had to offer and say, come this way. You know, the Bible has a lot of things. The rules and the things that are there are to help us out, not to cut us down. The Bible says don't get drunk. Why? Because drunkenness is bad for us. Okay, so we work in that. Does that mean you can never take a drink? The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus turned the water into wine, and we've got to work with that. And quite frankly, from what the Bible says, the wine that he turned the water into was the good stuff. And we need to understand that we need to put that in a proper picture. And in the proper picture in that scenario is, say, drunkenness, we need to stay away from that. Okay, but that doesn't mean we can't have a beer after we mow the grass, or we can't do anything. Well, what if you cause another person to stumble? Well, here's the thing. If I'm causing another person to stumble, I have to lay something in front of them and push them. That's how you cause somebody to stumble. Well, if you're over and I know you have a problem with alcohol, okay, so I don't drink while you're there. Because drinking might be causing you to stumble, so just don't do that. You know, if I know somebody that's a kleptomaniac, I don't put $5 bills all over my house and invite them over. I mean, that would just not be wise. We need to be wise. We need to be correcting and assist, coming alongside to help. If I know somebody's on a diet, I don't take them out for coffee at a place that serves all kinds of delicacies. Why would you do that? We're asked to be wise, to come alongside. You see, God's word is profitable. Profitable to assist us to gain direction. Thirdly, God's word tells us that Jesus is the word. There's a reason why we look at Scripture and say it's alive. Because, well, let's just look at a couple of verses in John 1:1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and nothing, without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Then if you slip down to verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, so often we begin to miss the fact that it says that Jesus is the Word. And Scripture is that live dynamic that God uses to speak to our hearts. Now, the Holy Spirit is part of that. I mean, we're not, but Jesus is the Word. He is that live part. How many times has a scripture verse come to mind just when you needed it? How many times have you been reading God's word and all of a sudden what you've been searching for, you begin to understand? How many times has this living word become part of who you are to make all the difference in the world in which you're living? You see, Jesus is the word, and the word is Jesus. It's living, it's active, it speaks to our hearts that we might use it for the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, John 6:46 says, "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna from the wilderness, yet they died." But there is, and I can't read that because my eyes are gone bad, "but there is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, and I will give. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the rest, my life for the rest of the world." In essence, what it's telling us is that Jesus is the Word. He's the bread of life. He is the basic foundation that we have as individuals. Bread is the basic needs of diet in the world in which we live. And that basic need gives us hope and gives us the courage that we need, because Jesus is that bread that comes alongside us to guide and direct our lives. Sometimes it gets a little bit difficult to put it all together. But you see, Jesus is the Word, God's Word. And because of Him, it is a living document. Not living in that it changes, living in that it speaks to us. And as such, it guides and directs our life. Jesus is part of that dynamic. He is the bread. When He was being tempted in the wilderness, He was tempted to turn the rocks into bread. And He said no. He didn't need French bread. He didn't need rye bread. He didn't need that physical bread. He was focused on the bread that comes from heaven. Jesus is that bread that comes from heaven that feeds our soul. As we read Scripture, there is a feeding of our soul, and that feeding of our soul is giving us life that goes beyond the nickels and noses of daily life. It gives us spiritual food that we can see so much better. We're able to then have that solid foundation to build upon, and God can guide and direct our path to be able to get us to do things that otherwise we might never do. Tell a quick story, since my son is in the back. Aaron is with us today, and he's on staff at Wright State at H2O, and we're pretty excited about that, and a number of folks from the congregation have been supporting him, and that's just awesome. But I remember a few years back when Aaron was smaller, and there was this one particular Sunday I was preaching at an 8 o'clock service, and the Sunday school was downstairs, and you kind of came in through the outside, down a few steps, through a door into the fellowship hall, which was in our basement. And Aaron did not like people, at least not crowds of people. He did not like going into a crowd. And they were running a few minutes late, and there was already a bunch of people downstairs. I was finishing with the congregation upstairs. And you can hear the door open and close. I mean, it was a smaller church and just one of those dynamics and things that happen. And all of a sudden, there was a little yelp from my wife, and then a commotion, and then Aaron was crying, and then the door slammed, and I could hear the noise coming from below. We finished the service up quickly, so I could get downstairs to find out what happened. You see, when they opened the door, Aaron saw the crowd and wanted to be someplace else, so he took off. Now, there was a busy street there, so you couldn't just let him go. And Mom had a hold of his hand, and Aaron left, and Mom stayed. Mom won, Aaron lost, elbow was dislocated. So there they are in the basement trying to get it all put back together. Look at what God has done with that same young man. Threw him on a college campus and said, go tell people about Jesus. You see, God's Word is living. It comes inside of us. It gives us this foundation to work from, that God can do anything. And He works in our hearts and in our lives, because in the world in which we live, there are so many that need to hear it in a different way. Maybe preaching isn't the answer. Maybe it's over coffee. Maybe it's across the fence in the backyard. Maybe it's on a college campus. Maybe it's at the work site. Maybe it's someplace else altogether. Maybe it's in Hawaii on the beach. Who knows? But our job is to make sure we have that foundation, that God can guide and direct our path. And that foundation is the Scripture, God's Word, Jesus Christ, guiding and directing our hearts and our lives. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we want to understand You more and more. We want to be with You like the old married couple that finishes each other's sentence. We want to know You so well that we know what You're thinking and what You're processing. And Lord, that we've gelled so much with You, we know how You would answer our questions even before we ask. Lord, we want that, but in order to get there, we've got to be able to connect with you. And we talked about that last week, and having silence and reading your word and meditating on it and making that connection with you that's so important. And this morning, we take it to the next level that while we're here, we need the foundation of your scripture that we can stand upon it. And Lord, we know that Jesus is the Word and that the Bible Scripture is living and it's applied to our hearts. And help us, Lord, to allow that to happen, to draw us closer to you, that the world would see the difference that you have made in us and be drawn to you. Walk with us, Lord. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in the closing hymn, 697, The Way of the Cross Leads Home.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of life where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home.
As we go from this place, may God's hand continue to be upon us, to guide us, to direct us. May we read his word and allow it to permeate who we are, that we might walk with him. Amen.